Hi, my name is Kate Gregory. I'm doing a series of screencasts on building awesome Windows 7 applications. And in this one, I want to talk about restart and recovery. That's a capability in Windows 7 that saves your users from ever losing any work if your application blows up or the machine reboots. It also lets you get rid of auto-saving so it can save CPU cycles and battery life, make your application more performant, more responsive. Now, Restart and Recovery is offered by the operating system by Windows 7. You can get to it from Manage Code, and if you're an MFC developer and you're using that whole document view application story, you can also get to it that way. What I'm going to show you is for people who aren't doing MFC document views and just want to be able to call in to the OS in a consistent and useful way to get Restart and Recovery capability. Completely native code, no Manage Code here at all. Now you're welcome to email me about anything you hear in this screencast. Please put Restart and Recovery in the subject line if you do so that I know that it's because of this. You can also check out my blog and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. Now Windows 7, you know, is visually quite different from previous versions of Windows. And if we're talking to friends and family and they say, what's Windows 7 like? We usually show them Windows 7. We show the taskbar, we click on things, we hover on things, we demonstrate the visuals. But you know, there's a lot more going on in Windows 7 than the visuals. And really what it comes down to is that it's old school to do things every X minutes. Whether you're going to wake up and poll every X minutes to see if something's happened, that's old school. Get notified. And similarly, auto-saving every X minutes is really old school. In fact, auto-saving every X minutes, it's kind of Murphy's Law. If you save every 30 minutes, somehow I manage to lose 29 minutes worth of work, right? And the other side of the story when it comes to auto-saving is the unnecessary auto-saves. So I've got some very large document open, and I don't really mean to edit it, but I happen to hit a key at some point. So I've inserted a space or a comma or a random number or something into the document, not on purpose. And when I close it, when it says, do you want to save your changes? I'm going to say no, because I didn't really deliberately make any changes. But of course, autosave doesn't know that. So every half hour, it keeps saving this whole document out. And if it's large, I can actually see an impact on my machine's responsiveness as a result of continuous autosaves of large documents. That's not the way that a Windows 7 app behaves. A Windows 7 app is considerate. A Windows 7 app doesn't lose your work and doesn't waste your battery saving things that don't need to be saved. You really want to make your application be a Windows 7 application. That's a philosophical thing as much as a technical thing, and restart and recovery is part of it. Now I'm using a Windows 7 recipe in the demo for this screencast. The Windows 7 recipes exist in both managed and native form. The first clump of them, there are four recipes, and each one is a native and a managed sample. Because they have a managed component, they're going to be easy to find from the Windows API code pack, which is a managed wrapper to get to Windows 7 functionality from VBNC Sharp. So if you go to code.msdn.microsoft.com and search for the Windows API code pack, there you will find this managed wrapper, which a native developer doesn't need, but you should also find early in 2011, links to these four recipes. And each recipe has a managed version and a native version. And I'm going to show you the native version of the restart and recovery recipe in this screencast. You've probably seen a restart and recovery dialog. What happens is an application, for whatever reason, needs to be terminated. One of the things that people often don't think about is that whether an application has blown up, thrown an unhandled exception, gone into some sort of dead loop and won't come out, stopped responding, or the machine is rebooting, perhaps because of some unattended updates. In all of those cases, it's the operating system that terminates the application. And the way that restart and recovery works is simple. Very early in its life cycle, when it first launches, the application says to Windows, Windows, if you ever need to terminate me, I need you to do two things for me, okay? One, I need you to give me a chance not to do a save on the open document, because that might not be what the user wants, but to store any unsaved data somewhere that I can get it later. And Windows says, sure, give me a callback. I'll call you back when you're being terminated. Now it calls back on a different thread because the main thread is probably in big trouble. And the second thing I want you to do, Windows, is after you terminate me, I want you to start me up again so the user doesn't have to do anything. And when you start me up, give me this code word so I know it's you. We call that the restart hint. And when you register for restart and recovery, you actually provide the hint and say, this is what I want to be restarted with. That's the basic mechanism that's provided by the operating system, and it works beautifully. The problem with it, believe it or not, is that it gives you too much freedom. What should that hint be? Should it just be a word like restarting? A lot of people you'll see will actually use the path, the full file name, of where they stored data on the way down, which is great. Just keep in mind that you can't set that on the way down. You have to do it when you first start, so it's like agreeing in advance. If this run fails, here's where I'll store stuff. Trying to format that hint yourself, trying to format the file yourself, should it be plain text, should it be comma separated, should it be XML, should it be something binary, figuring out where to store it. People store stuff in the current directory, which works great while you're developing on your own machine, you know, some sort of working folder for the project, and then when you install it, if it ends up installed under program files, all of a sudden you're going to run afoul of UAC. It's a crummy reason to elevate an application just so that it can do restart and recovery. So I'm guessing it's probably not elevated, and that means it won't be able to write under program files, and that means the write will fail, and you won't be able to prevent the loss of data. Bummer. So all that freedom, sure, do what you like, write where you like, whatever format you like, sometimes leaves people not sure what to do the right thing, or they don't do the right thing. Even people who know exactly what to do and who are going to do the right thing have to copy that code around from project to project, which is never fun. So the idea with the recipe is let's take some best practices like writing to application data instead of to the current directory. Let's figure out a good way to structure the hint. Let's figure out a good way to structure the file name and leverage all of that so that in your code you write as little code as possible and you get good restart and recovery behavior. As always, the best way to explain any of this is by showing someone the code, and that's just what I want to do. So I have our demo project open in Visual Studio, but in order to run it, I'm going to double-click the exe. This is pretty good practice throughout your life. Don't hit F5 if you don't want to run something under the debugger, but it's especially important when you're working on restart and recovery. If your application has this fatal error while it's under the debugger, all that's going to happen is the debugger is going to step in and say, uh-oh, fatal error, look what happened. You don't want that. You want this unhandled exception or other problem to get all the way out to the operating system so that the operating system can provide that service of restart and recovery. So by double-clicking the exe, I'm not under the debugger. Now let me just quickly show you. You can see that I have one text box, one checkbox, and a couple of buttons. And the code for the buttons, the button labeled hang really does hang you. That's a pretty tight and pretty infinite loop. And the button labeled crash really does crash you. I had to do it like this because the compiler noticed if I just used the literal zero. These buttons are very helpful for your own debugging purposes. Normally you can't really find the code that crashes your app. It takes a little trouble to find it. This is nice and easy to find, and you can take the button away once you know that your restart and recovery code is working. I have a couple of handlers here. When somebody checks this checkbox, I've got a document. You can see on the tip there that it's of type C sample document pointer. And I just call its setCheck property, passing in true or false whether something is checked or not. And when you type in the text box and the text is changed in here, I call setLinesOfText on that same document pointer. And that will put the text in our document. And that's really the key here. That we have a document, even though we're not an MFC DocView application, we have a document class that represents what we'd like to have saved somewhere safe. Not saved in the sense of file save, because the user may not want that, but just put away somewhere safe and brought back on a restart. So let's make it happen. I'm going to type some text in here and click crash right away. I don't want you to think that the text needs to hang around long enough to get auto-saved, because it doesn't. You recognize these windows, it's stopped working, then it'll say it's attempting to recover my data, and then that it's restarting. Attempting to recover flicks by very quickly, because there's not much data to recover. And as you can see, it worked. We now have the text back, and the box is checked just as I had it checked. let me show you what little amount of code it took inside my application in order to make that happen. The first thing you need to know is that I'm including this header called native-restart-and-recovery.h. That's the actual recipe itself, which gives this capability to our system. And I'll be coming back in and taking a look at this a little later, but I really want you to see that it includes this definition of this templated class called Restart Recovery Helper. So here, when we construct our dialog, and this is the only code that we really need to deal with in order to make restart and recovery work, is that we make an empty document to work with, and then we create this restart and recovery helper instance. Now, it's a templated class, and the template type parameter is your actual document type. So let's take a little detour into the document. Here's our C-sample document class. You can see that it has these private variables, lines of text, and check. And then it has public get and set functions for each of them. Do exactly what you expect them to do. And this is really important. We've overloaded these operators for reading the class, an instance, in from an iStream or writing it out to an OStream. This is how you put your own stamp on what's going on here. The recipe, the templated code that I'll show you, is going to use these operators, but you're going to implement these operators. So your stuff will be written out during the crash, however you like to have it written out. And it'll be read back in on the restart after the crash, however you like to read it back in. So if you take a look in our implementation of sample document, you can see here, we just write out either a 1 or a 0 for the Boolean check, and then write out the characters in the lines of text variable. To fill an instance from an iStream, we get the 1 or the 0 into the Boolean, and then we go through and whatever else is there, we put in as text. So that's a really simple document class because it only has two member variables. You might have more or less, but I'm also pretty confident that your application has some kind of a memory structure that you're keeping all this in. So there's some kind of submit button that we haven't implemented yet here in the demo that would take all this data and do something with it. And probably you'd have a data structure for those purposes. So really all you have to do in order to write the recipe is to add those operator overloads in to that existing class that you're using for other purposes. So here in the constructor of the dialog, we knew up a restart and recovery helper of C-sample documents. Okay, and that's a local, a pointer here, RRH. And we're just going to call two member variables of that RRH, and then we don't need it any further. So we're going to check to see if this instance of the application is being restarted. So when I first double-clicked the exe, that was not being restarted. But then obviously after we crashed and came back, we were. And check for restart is one of these templated functions, and it returns a pointer to a sample document that was recovered for you. If you weren't restarted, that'll be a null pointer. If you were restarted, it will be a document. It's up to you. You might want to put up a message box and ask the user, hey, I have a recovered document, do you want it, blah, blah. This code just brings it back, as you saw. Then whether you were restarted or not, you need to register for restart and recovery. And the recipe provides this capability also. And I just wanted to quickly walk through some of the parameters here to this call. The application name is a sort of friendly string, and we actually use it to make the folder under app data where the temporary data is stored. It's cleaned up after it's reloaded, but just in case someone's poking around under app data, I hate to see folders with names that are like GUIDs, so an understandable string for your folder name. This instance name, I've got it hard-coded here, but you could base it on something like what someone's doing or what stage they're at, so that if two things got in trouble at once, their files could be told apart. The recipe does stick a timestamp in the name, which will probably help. This is sort of an extra tiebreaker. This is the pointer to the document. We're going to dereference the pointer at the time of the crash to get to the data that needs to be saved. This ping interval represents how long you promise the OS, I won't go dark for longer than this. So depending on how long it takes to save your data, you need to adjust this number. And then finally, we have some restart and recovery restrictions. Don't restart me if. And I'm just saying, always restart me. Whether the app hung, crashed, new DLLs are being applied, machines rebooting, whatever, I don't care. Restart me. So now I've registered for restart and recovery. I've already checked to see if I'm restarted or not. That's all that you need to do inside your own native code to make it work. I'm going to show you how it works for hanging as well, and then we'll drill into the recipe a little bit and let you see some of those goodies. Say it works for hangs, and then quickly click the button because I don't want you to think this is relying on autosaves or anything like that. It's the absolutely live, up-to-the-minute data at the time that the application got into trouble. Now you see that Windows has noticed that this application is not responding. I can move it around and resize it in a few other things that I couldn't do in older versions of Windows, but it's not coming out of that loop, right? That's a while true loop. So I can kill it. And I wanted you to see this because it's a little different for hangs than it is for crashes. You have to choose whether you want it to restart or not. I'm going to say I do want it to restart. And from then on, it's the same. It's checking for a solution, attempting to recover your data, restarting, and then you'll see the data returned. And there is everything that I typed right before I hit the hang. So it works for both hangs and crashes, and obviously I'm not going to demonstrate rebooting the machine, but it does also work for those. So let's go back into the recipe, and I'll just show you, if you're curious, how it works. This is the check for restart function, which returns a document pointer of whatever your type is that this is a restart and recovery helper of. We make sure we have platform support. Restart and recovery showed up in Vista. We basically parse the hint. It's the full file name of where to find the file. So we just pass that into open. Assuming that we managed to open it, we use your operator overload to fill this empty document object with. And that's why this is C++. You're in complete control. You write that overload the way you like, and the file is emptied into the object for you. Okay? And then we clean away the file. Yay. That takes care of check for restart. When you're not restarted, you don't have a command line argument. You have no hint. So it would just return no. The other half of the game is registering for restart and recovery. We have a number of overloads of it. This is kind of the main one that everything else calls. And you see those same parameters that we talked about. Again, got to check for platform support. And then we're going to use a shell get known folder path to get a hold of app data and build up a path name with the app name as the folder name underneath that. And then, if necessary, create the directory. Build up a timestamp to stack onto the end of the file name. So the file name is that instance name, which defaults to recover, plus the timestamp, plus the hard-coded extension of .dat. And we tack that onto the end of the recovery path. Then we set up the callback to our own recovery procedure. Part of the deal here is that the recipe user does not need to write the code to save the data out any more than they needed to write the code to read the data in. So recovery procedure is here inside Restart and Recovery Helper. And we just basically set up that recovery path and then make this API call to register application restart. Here is recovery procedure, and it calls serialize subject, passing in this document, which is a pointer to the data to be saved. It comes out of that doc that was passed in when we set up the hint in the first place, and the recovery path, RP. Those are clumped together in this helper class called restore state. So we just pull them apart and pass them down to serialize subject. And all serialize subject does is open a file using recovery path and then use your operator to write the document out to the file. So again, you're in control. And obviously you write those two operators in a complementary manner so that the reading one expects to read exactly the format that the writing one wrote. Only other thing we got in here is some helper functions, log to file and is Vista or later. They're not really relevant. And there's not much code in the recipe. It's easy enough for you to understand and read through. And if you want to see it in action, you can uncomment out some of these log files calls and read the comments as it goes through. From the point of view of using it, super simple. You just create that instance of the helper class, call check for restart, call register for restart and recovery. And as long as you've written those two operators, you're good to go to use that recipe. I'm just reproducing the code here so that you can have it. You can see us creating the restart and recovery helper, passing the hint in to check for restart, looking at the pointer we get back from check for restart to see if it's null or not, and then registering for restart and recovery. As easy as that. If your application gives people the opportunity to fill out a form or type in some data, you want to make it so they won't lose it. If it's a full-on document and you have a document view architecture, then you have a different way of doing restart and recovery. But this is a generous definition of document. Think about Internet Explorer, where you have 20 tabs open and it blows up. And then it says, hey, did you want your tabs back? And, you know, I always say yes. And the only information for each tab is the URL. It doesn't keep all the HTML. It just goes and gets that URL again from the universe. So that's the only information, is what URL was open in each tab. Now, Outlook keeps track of which mail messages I had open, you know, in their own windows, because that's sort of a to-do list for me. In a Twitter client, your document, such as it is, might be where in the timeline you are. It doesn't have to be a document in the usual sense. Turning on restart and recovery with the recipe, very simple thing to do. You take control, because this is C++ and you're always in control. I would recommend, if you've got restart and recovery working well, to get rid of autosave. You'll make your application more responsive, it'll perform better, it'll use less CPU, the battery will last longer, and you can count on restart and recovery to catch you while you're being terminated and give you a chance to do that store. And that will save you from having to do the autosave. Anything that makes your application perform better is, of course, a win for C++ developers. It's a nice and simple way for you to do it with a real minimum of overhead. Give it a whirl.